Just returned from an amazing, amazing trip that was in every way what you would anticipate God doing in the middle of another part of the world where war has ravaged a country and where thousands have lost their lives and where anxiety rules in many of their hearts, where challenges of abandonment create great pain, where different people find fear as the component that guides their life and story. And so it was an amazing time together. And as the time unfolded, I found myself on the way back home on Friday morning, not thinking too much about anything other than the fact that it was coming. I was coming home to those I love, coming home to church, coming home to see all of you. And after we're in the air about an hour, the pilot came on, and the pilot said, "We have a problem. Our left engine is showing us some kind of problem. We don't know what the problem is. And if you look at the map, we were right on the edge of going onto the ocean. And once across that water, it would have been a real challenge." And the pilot said, "You have nothing to worry about. But if you could have been on that plane, every person on that plane was silent. And I was traveling with another pastor friend, Lindsay's father, Tim Lewis. And after the announcement was finished, and he said, "We're diverting to Amsterdam. Don't worry about it. Everything is fine." And as he said that, Tim walked up and said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "We can't do anything." I said, "We're under the control of that pilot and this plane." Well, as soon as the pilot finished, he said, "Now, I want to tell you that, you know, we've got everything taken care of." And it's interesting because all of a sudden the flight attendant's walking around handing snacks out and everything to try to divert your attention away from what was going on. As soon as he finished his announcement, the plane started rattling. Just as soon as he said, "Everything will be fine." And the plane started shaking, and I thought, wow, what a moment to be listening to what it is that God would say to me. And a few tears began to roll down my face. I began to think about never holding Cindy again, never seeing you again. I began to think about my grandkids. Only grow up with memories and not hearing my voice. And as it all began to capture me, I began to think about how often we miss moments that we could hear exactly what it is God wants to say to us. But we get too busy. We get too overwhelmed. We don't hear what it is He wants to say to our hearts and lives. And as the plane touched down, I said a prayer to God. "Lord, thank you for another day and another moment." And as we got off the plane, we went through all kinds of headaches and difficulties. It's very interesting how life works because I'm reading a book right now that talks about the dynamic tension between two different aspects of life. How we see things and how things really are. And as the pilot was veering the plane around and they were opening up to check the motor out, and my whole thought was, please tell me this plane's not going to be the one that takes me home. And so finally the pilot came on and said, "This plane's not going anywhere. You're in Amsterdam for the night and the day." And so we had a very long, tense day. But what I wanted to say to you is, when I got on that plane, I was rejoicing at what God had done. I was thankful that Chester and others were not on the plane with me because they were flying in another flight. But as I got on that plane, I thought to myself, I have nothing to worry about because I'm on Delta. They're going to take me home. And then when that pilot came on and said, "We're not taking you home," I thought, wow, how things change in a moment. And how I thank God for highly trained people. The next day, yesterday, when I got on a plane, I had the same flight crew, and I asked the flight attendant, "I want to tell you, how bad was that motor? I want to ask." She said, "You better be glad we had a good pilot." That's what she said. And I said, "Well, I am glad." She said, "Well, let me say this, that plane's still sitting here. And we would have had problems." And as I went through the experience, I thought to myself, sometimes in life, we think we're the pilot and we're in control. And the truth of the matter is, He's in control of everything. And that's why today is such an amazing moment for us to be able to look and see inside of His Word. And yesterday evening after getting home, I went to Freddy's with several of my grandkids and Ashley and Abby and Cindy. And it wouldn't matter what we ate. Watching the smiles on their faces versus the tears that would have been in their eyes. And it made me think about something. how I'll be remembered. And it made me really, really get so focused about what it is God's called me to do. And I'm going to tell you this, how I thank the Lord that He has something more for me to do, something more for me to accomplish. And today we find ourselves in one of the most amazing passages in Matthew chapter 8. Turn your Bible, if you would, there. Because as you're turning there, here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is trying to awaken people to become effective listeners so that they'll have effective faith. In other words, be able to hear what it is that God's saying to them in order to grow their faith in an amazing way. And I want you to think about that in light regarding the dynamic tension between listening and truly believing. Hearing what it is that God wants to say to you. And what's interesting is, oftentimes the noise of life gets in our way. And today I'm going to ask you several questions, but one of the most important questions is this. Today we find the disciples in the boat in the midst of a storm. And the question I want you to be thinking about throughout this entire message is, who's in your boat? Who's in your boat? Because the truth of the matter is, if Jesus is in your boat, no matter how big the storm is, He'll carry you forward. He'll take care of you. But I want you to think about, in light of this text, look at it with me if you would, because it's a passage in which Jesus begins to test whether people are really listening or not. Listen to these verses. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around Him, He gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Then a scribe came to Him and said to Him, "Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." Another disciple said to Him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." When He got in the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus Himself was asleep. And they came to Him and woke Him up, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then He got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" When you read this, you realize here's a story of two people who are just trying to figure life out. They're scribes, which means that they have had an intent to discover what it is that God has to say to them, but at the same time, they can't completely put the math together. They don't know exactly how it all works. And I want you to think about this in light of all that we find ourselves in life regarding effectiveness. Because the truth is, you're either effective or ineffective in life. You either get it done or you miss it. You either see what it is He's saying to you or you misunderstand what He's trying to get across to you. And when it comes to effective listening, imagine for a moment that all of a sudden you think, wait a minute now. The pastor asked me to think about who's in my boat. Who's in my boat? And here's what I want you to think about regarding this whole message today. Here is Jesus in the boat. And when He's in your boat, it doesn't matter how big your storm, it doesn't matter how loud your noise, it doesn't matter how overwhelming your circumstances, it doesn't matter how difficult your situation, it doesn't matter how painful the things are that you're facing at that moment, He becomes the answer to your storm. He's in your boat. And today I want you to think about what would happen if all of a sudden, all of us said, "I'm staying in the boat with Him. I'm staying in the boat with Him no matter what." And see, what happens oftentimes is we don't gauge effectiveness the way God intended. I want to ask you to think about this regarding your life. How would you gauge effectiveness in your life? How would you gauge the things that really matter? You see, it's interesting to me. When the plane hit the ground in Amsterdam, the first thing I texted was my wife and kid. I texted a message to them to say to them we had trouble. I didn't respond about my tears. I didn't say other things like that, but I did let them know that we were safely on the ground and I'd be home soon. But as I thought about that, the messages we send, sometimes I think God has a text message to us. I think it's sometimes brief too. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. And when you get in that boat, something begins to happen inside of your life. And see, here are people who are looking for an answer, but they miss the opportunity to be able to get in the boat. And it's interesting because in chapter 8, verse 22, notice what Jesus says to one of those. "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." Now, when you read it, you think, well, Jesus is really getting pointed. No, the truth of the matter is this guy's dad is not dead yet. And what this guy was saying was, let me let me stay in my own world, in my own circumstance, in my own situation, but when my dad is gone, I'll come hang out with you. And the truth of the matter is that's not what Jesus intended. He wanted to listen and have the right kind of faith. Look on down, though. Notice what happens in verse 27. The men were amazed. And the word amazed there means to be completely blown away. In other words, completely blown away. And it's very interesting because I told you the pastor was with me, Pastor Tim from Illinois, and he's a brilliant man in a lot of different ways. But it's so interesting. We got off the plane. I said, what do you think? He said, well, I started researching, can a plane fly on one motor? And I was like, well, I would never. How many of you would Google that? Can a 767 fly with one motor? John, would you do that? Yeah. The reality is, I'm thinking, now see, what I'm thinking is, change the plane. That's the only thing I'm thinking. And so when I got on that plane, the first question I asked was, is this a different plane, right? I said, yeah, yours is over there. This is the new one. But as he told me that, I thought, you know, he said, he began to tell me all the what happens when one motor is carrying both sides. And then I told Cindy that, and Cindy said, well, what about the fuel in the other wing? Does it get over that other side, that other motor? And as I thought that, you know what happens sometimes? We get so overwhelmed with the complicated aspects of how things work. And here they go, man, my mind is blown away. And Jesus just said, wind, stop. Storm, stop. Waves, stop. And all of a sudden, we're calm. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. What he was teaching them was, when your faith and your eyes are fixed on him, no storm is going to drown you, take you under, overwhelm you. He's going to be with you no matter what. He's going to be there. And so as you read this text, you begin to say, wait a minute now. There got to be some keys to effectiveness. So I'm going to give you four very quick keys that are very key to everything that you needed to learn about how you become effective in life. The first thing is this. Learn how to listen beyond words. Learn how to listen beyond words, because what happened with Jesus was, can you imagine his body language when he got up in that nap? Jesus was tired. People had been pulling on him and grabbing hold of him and pushing him and everything. And all of a sudden, he's sound asleep. And they wake him up. And as they wake him up, can you imagine what was the nonverbal? How many of you have people around you that can communicate better nonverbal than verbal? I'm married to one like that. And Cindy can just look at you, and you know what she's thinking. Like, you just know it. And, of course, we've been married a long time, so you get that. Nonverbal message, 86%, listen to this, 86% of everything you say is nonverbal, which tells you something. Some of you, when you're driving your car, you're sending a really bad message. You know, you got your face like that, you're uptight, you're gritting your teeth. You had to go to the dentist. You're making the dentist more money because your teeth are gritting. And what happens is you start listening beyond words and you start hearing something. I'm going to tell you what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. Listen to me more effectively so you'll be able to have a life that God intended. Second key to effectiveness, not just listening beyond words, but following instructions exactly. Now, here's the question you got to ask. Many of the disciples were fishermen. They knew that sometimes the boat would rock. They knew, and probably the degree of the storm was challenging. And no doubt they probably were thinking, man, you know, we've been doing this all of our lives. This is a big storm. And I'm going to tell you, I've been on thousands of planes. I've never been diverted right on the edge of the ocean. It was a new experience on Friday morning. And I thought to myself, wow, here, this pilot, let me tell you what, I turned off my iPod. I took my headphones off my ear. And I paid attention to every word that was being shared at that point because it mattered. And here's what I want you to see. Every word you read and hear matters. You just have to be wise enough to listen to it and to follow it and follow instructions carefully. A third area of effectiveness that really works inside of all of our lives is this. Learn how to yield completely in obedience. Learn how to say, Lord, this is what I want. Last night I was meditating on this text before. My body clock's a little bit out of whack, so I was going to bed fairly early and I was meditating on this thought, but what simple obedience does in all of our lives. Because when we simply obey, something begins to happen inside of us. We just have to learn how to yield and say yes to that. Yes to what it is that God has for your life. And I was going through passport control in Germany as I was headed home, and the guy that stamps your book you know, that's the key to your whole life. You got a stamp or you can't go anywhere. And I said, hey, how are you? He said, where are you coming from? I said, well, I'm coming from over here. I said, how are you? He said, I'm not here for questions. And I thought to myself, okay, now, my flesh says, you need to be nicer because we're all coming through here to keep you a job. But my spirit said, you want to get out of Germany, just say thank you very much. And I did. Thank you very much. Boom, snapped my book, and I went on. And we got off the plane. I mean, we got out through passport control, and I told Tim, I said, Tim, that guy was not happy. And he said, I noticed that. He said, but I learned from you. You were ahead of me. I heard you ask a question. I didn't ask any question. He said, yes, sir. And that's all he did was, yes, sir. Well, let me tell you what Jesus sometimes wants you to do. Yes, sir. Don't ask questions. Don't ask how things are. Just say, yes, sir. Yield completely. A fourth and final way to be effective in life is this. Anticipate his insights in your life. Anticipate that God is going to speak to you. You see, what the 40-day challenge is about is God speaking to you. I was visiting with Vern a moment before service, and we were talking about the fact that every person reads a psalm and hears something different. And that's how God speaks, because we're all in different places in life. We're all waiting for him to say something to our heart that would change our lives forever. And so we just have to be wise and go, you know what? I want to hear him speak. So there are two things I want you to see out of this text. Two things. Let's break it down. The first part are these two guys who basically, they've got too much noise going on in the world. And here's what I want you to get hold of. To hear from God, you have to eliminate the noise of the world. You just got to eliminate. You got to set it aside, and you got to say, you know what, I'm not going to let that get in my way. I'm not going to hear all that traffic going on, everything that's going on that's reverberating inside of my brain. I'm going to stop and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Let me hear what it is I need to eliminate. Knock some of this stuff out of my world. And what you discover is, it's like what happens. Let's say you get in a car with somebody, and they have their radio on loud, and you're going, wow, this is so loud. Why am I hearing so much of this noise? And it's blaring through at you. And then you just say to them, would you mind turning that radio down? And they say, oh, I don't mind at all. And they turn it down, and then you can start hearing something more effectively. And let me tell you what happens in life. There were people who were trying to listen while others were making so much noise they couldn't hear what they needed to hear. And I want you to discover this about your own life. If you let too much noise get around you, you won't hear what God has for you. But if you eliminate the noise, you'll start hearing something, you become more effective, and your life becomes much more amazing. So let's look at these two different scenarios, okay? The first one has to do with these two scribes who come up, and it's interesting because these are moments where there's an intensity beyond all of the questions that they have. There's this intensity that goes on because here they come and start asking and really they're making statements, but they're really asking questions, okay? Because the first one in verse 19, he says, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And see, here's a seeker without sensitivity, because he's not really intending to go everywhere Jesus goes. He's just testing to see how Jesus responds. And he's saying, you know, I'm gonna do whatever you ask me to do. I'm gonna make that next trip. I'm gonna go and share the next opportunity I have. I'm gonna impact my family. I'm going to make a difference. But the truth is that he didn't have a sensitivity to the very thing that mattered the most. Because what does Jesus do? Jesus comes back at him and basically confronts his thought process. Because, wait a minute, now, you want to hang out with me at the Holiday Inn Express? That's not happening. You want to go with me on the next cruise? That's not happening. That cruise is not happening. You want to make the next little trip with me over across the water? No. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't need you to get in the boat just because you think it's going to be easy. That's not what he was trying to say. What does he say here? He said, verse 20, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What he was saying was, we are all passing through. Don't spend all your time focused on your comforts and the things, the convenience of life. Focus in on the convictions of what it is God has for you. That's the very reason that seven people went across the water into Ukraine to make a difference. 1,200 children. 1,200 children. And amazing stories, 177 confessions of faith in Christ. I mean, think about that. 177 people said yes to Jesus. 26 different points of ministry, 300 adults heard the gospel as well. The team went at public schools. Let me just say this to you. Walked into a public school on a day when classes are dismissed. It's a holiday. 60 kids came because they wanted to hear about God. 60. Of those 60 kids, how many of them got saved? You remember? It was unbelievable. And I asked them, I said, why are you here? And it's real funny because they all had different answers, but they all had one commonality. They weren't concerned that classes weren't happening. They were concerned that someone came with good news from a faraway land. And I'm going to tell you, when they gave their heart to Christ, I want to say 16 kids. I may be wrong. But I'm not. The statistical aspect is not the issue. Here's what's amazing. Think about yourself. When you were in school and they made an announcement, no classes tomorrow, could your parents have dragged you to school? I mean, seriously. Listen, if you heard an announcement and said, hey, BG is coming to town, and it's not the BG's, the group, and you know, wow, I'm going to get up, I'm going to dress, I'm going to get my clothes, I'm going to go to school today because no one's there but BG. Now, the truth of the matter is you'd have said, I wouldn't go to that school in 1,000 years. And the truth is, these kids came hungry. And what I want you to see today is that when it comes to the intensity by which we do our life, and these two men, they were not bad men. These were men looking for an answer. But the intensity beyond their questions didn't get them where God intended for them to go. And then the next one goes and said, wait a minute now, verse 21, Lord, permit me to go and bury my father. Let me do this first. And Jesus said, no, follow me. And what he was trying to say was, don't put off to tomorrow what you need to do today. What he was trying to get across was, here's a seeker without the right priorities. Here's a person saying, you know what? I'm looking for something, but I don't want that. I don't want what you have. And why don't you think about today? Think about this. Think about you find yourself in Ukraine and someone walks up to you and hands you these cards. You're from a broken home with alcoholic parents. You've been beaten. You've had difficulty. You've had heartache. But on these cards are the 10 favorite verses of your pastor. On these cards are written in Ukrainian the verses that they should hang on to. And we witnessed these kids quoting these verses. I'll never forget watching the children. And after it was over, I asked some of the leaders, tell me about that child. Tell me about that little girl who just quoted Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. And it's interesting because for some of our folks who were captured by her, and Chester posted, I think, her video of her quoting this, what people didn't realize is their mom had kicked her on the side of the street, her and her sister, and said, I don't want you, I don't want anything to do with you. If you want to find your way to your grandmother's, go to your grandmother's, but I'm done with you. And she's up there, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I mean, all these different, and she's quoting it, and I'm going to tell you, goosebumps went all over me. And then I ask about some other kids. I said, tell me about them. Tell me about those two girls who are dressed in Ukrainian outfits. And the worker said, you won't believe this. They grow up in the most horrible homes. Their parents, the only reason they let them come to study about Jesus with us is to get them out of the house so they can drink more. And they began to tell the story of these kids. And I'm going, we need more intensity about our lives. Because there are kids just like them right here in Atlanta who need the same hope, the same message, the same love. And what I want to challenge you to do is think about this. Here are two guys who missed it. And so what are the lessons to be learned? What are the lessons to be learned? When you look at this text, why does Matthew record these words about these two encounters? And before they get in the boat, before they get on that water, and when you read it, you realize that what he's trying to get across is, and I want you to get this in your mind, his expectations are always transforming. Let me tell you something. When you let God have control, he changes everything. I'm going to tell you, for me personally, I can tell you, he changes everything. Just like the message, listening to some of these folks who are looking for an answer, these kids who are looking, even last night, a message coming through from a person who said this, I only have God in you. Please don't leave me. And when you read those words, you realize something, that for a lot of people, they have an expectation for God to work in their life. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered. It's not determined by the age or our intelligence. It's not determined by our equipping. It does not determine by some magnificent call that comes ringing out of heaven. Let me tell you, it's determined by us being willing to say, Lord, I yield to you. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus was teaching these folks too. There's only one source of authority in life. There's only one source, and his name is Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't watched the video Chester posted of our trip, you ought to watch it, because we're going to have other videos from Honduras and other places. But as I watched it, I said to thinking, you know what? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And I'm going to tell you, when I watch these folks give their heart to Christ, when I watch them line up, when I watch teachers in a public school say, yes, I want Jesus, it was just absolutely profound, because he is the source of all authority. A third thing I want you to see, it's just very important for you not to lose, and it's this. And then we'll move on to the second thing, we'll be finished, because we're going to have a special time in a moment of baptism. Focus is essential to success in life. In other words, if you can't focus, you can't win. If you can't look beyond your circumstances to what it is God wants to do with you, you can't win. If you get in a boat of emotions, you lose no matter what. If you get in a boat of circumstance, you lose no matter what. If you get in a boat of convenience, you lose no matter what. And what I want you to think about today is this. What if you just focused in? You just zeroed in. I'm married to somebody completely different than me, and I love that. And I was listening to her. She was telling me an amazing story on the way home from the airport yesterday. And every word out of her mouth just made me so thankful. Because I listened, focused on what she was saying, what she'd been through, what she'd encountered. And here's what I want you to get today about Jesus. He wants us to focus. He doesn't want us to scatter our brains out all over the radar screen. He wants us to bleep in on obedience and say, Lord, I want to follow you. All right, so they get in the boat. All right, so here are these two. They don't get what they wanted. The two scribes do not get what they anticipated, because Jesus responds in a way. And let me ask you a question. Can you imagine the headache the scribe had when he went home? I mean, think about it. The scribe who Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He went home, and his dad probably embraced him and said, man, what are you doing? He said, well, I've had the worst day of my life, because I just got told this ain't going to work the way I thought the formula worked. And I want you to imagine for a second, what if he took away your headache and your heartache, and he gave you holiness and peace? Wouldn't that be a great answer to what you face in life? That's what's amazing about the God we serve. So then they get on the boat, and the disciples are in there, and I just want you to see one second and final thing is this. There must be wisdom beyond emotion in order to succeed in life. You see, here's what happened to all the disciples in there. The waves splashed in their face. It got them wet. It got them overwhelmed. In fact, it's the same kind of thing, by the way, that the parents felt in Ukraine when they were told their children were going to have special needs. And a church began to reach out to them. And this gift, put together and crafted, it's a heart crafted by handicapped children in a ministry there. I wouldn't take anything for this heart. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's a reminder to me that every heart that beats is valuable to God. Valuable to God. And what you discover is there's a wisdom beyond emotion. Because their emotions, the parents said, you know what, we have these difficulties, but the wisdom of God says we will love what he has given us. We will love this child no matter what. And I carried this gift in here on purpose. I thought, you know what, sometimes we need to be reminded that how God guides our lives is by us being willing to say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. And so what happens here, just two things I want you to see and we're done. The first thing is this. Storms always challenge our commitment. If you go through a job change, it's a storm. If you go through a marital difficulty, it's a storm. If you go through a relational headache, it's a storm. They challenge our commitment. I'm going to tell you what this story is all about. It's interesting because if you look in the Gospel of Mark, it asks the question very differently, because it basically says, don't you care that we're going to die? And what I want you to see today is this. It doesn't matter that we live through storms, because we all do. What matters is we know who's in the boat with us. That's what matters the most. A second thing I want to show you, and then we're going to move right into a moment of response. And that is, true faith demands that we respond beyond our circumstances. And today, if you think about that, maybe you have some circumstances, maybe you have some challenges, maybe you have some things coming at you and you go, wow, I don't know which way to turn, I don't know what to do. I mean, when I look at this text, I think, wow, here's a place where Jesus, by the way, his intensity of what he's trying to do is getting him more and more pronounced. He's getting into focused more and more because he realized something. If you don't get it now, you may never get it. You may miss what it is that he has for you. And here's what I want to challenge you to think about. Why wouldn't you get in the boat and believe? Why would you not step into that boat? Because I'm going to tell you, you get in that boat, something begins to happen inside of you. And I'm going to tell you, for me personally, I've been in the boat with him for a long time. And I'm going to tell you, he's the best captain you'll ever have. As much as I appreciate the Delta captain who got me on the ground, there is a captain that someday will call me home. And that captain is the one who wants to be the Lord of your life. If you're here today, you've never given your heart to him, I want to challenge you. Just like the two kiddos who've given their heart, if you're here as an adult, you've never said, you know what, Lord, I want to entrust myself to you. I know I do wrong. I know I need you. I need to surrender myself to you. What happens when you all of a sudden you start doing that, something begins to change how you look at life, how you respond, how you interact. And when I think about that, I think about what it would be like if you and I just said yes to him. And it may be you're here and you realize he's saying to you, he's saying to your heart, get engaged in a place where your heart can be committed. Get engaged in what God's trying to accomplish through you. If you've never given your heart to him, I want to encourage you to do so. And you can do it just like the kids did in school, in schools and orphanages in Ukraine. You can do it in a way that changes and transforms your life just like them. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, I confess that I need you. I ask you to come to my life and change me forever. I'm going to tell you, when you make that step, something amazing happens. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the promise of eternity. Thank you for the promise of your word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to baptize two who say yes to you. Thank you for these beautiful children who represent our future. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage their hearts in an amazing way. May this fellowship never forget the baptism of Emma and Mara. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, help us to respond to you in Christ's name. Amen.